This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 69.
Hey, it's Gun in Washington, D.C.
And this is Tech Sully coming back from the Sullivan compound high atop Mount Sullivan.
I said you were in Alaska outside of Denali on your moon base. Are you telling me I lied?
No. Truthfully, I was spying on the guys in Oregon. I was just really into Drover coats, and I wanted to find out where they got all theirs.
Yes. I saw one really, really actually good point that people have been ignoring. You talked to my bro, Theodore Dade today, and, him and I go back and forth online on a lot of issues. And, one of them is the overwhelming stereotype that blacks are being gunned down by cops all the time, and white people always get a pass. We had a really great exchange about that, because he actually has a very unique opinion about the Oregon bunch, and I hope you guys discuss that. I wanted to have, Dade on while we were both talking, but he had to go to work, so he only got to talk to Tech. So I now really want to find out if he knew which one, if it wasn't me. we sound identical.
Actually, therein may be the confusion, because, he may not have understood which one of us he was talking to.
And the fact that you then started playing both parts,
he was thinking that, you know, the federal government might have been in on the shenanigans that are there, that are happening there. I think from seeing this, you know, and of course I'm just an uninformed idiot who lives in his car.
It is a little hard to understand the situation. What have you found out about it?
Well, from everything I've seen, it looks like some people wanted to use some federal land. They were denied access to the federal land, so the people burned something. That's the thing I can't figure out what the heck they burned.
I heard on that, it was a controlled burn, which is something that you do in order to keep fire from spreading to the rest of your property if there's a fire burning out of control on your property. So they tried to do a controlled burn, and some of that spread onto the federal land.
That makes far more sense. Okay, all right, yeah. That makes far more sense.
That was a complete accident that was done with good intentions. These were not malicious criminals. They were trying to protect their land from fire by doing a fire prevention protocol that's been done for possibly thousands of years, where you burn off part of a thing, and then that good-intentioned thing done on private property spread to federal, unused federal property.
They accidentally covered the federal land with jet fuel before doing it. It's a complete accident.
Okay, now, I think you're joking, so I'm going to tell you, please don't joke about this, but unless you've heard something about the story that I haven't heard.
No, I am joking. One of the things I've gone back through when I was trying to find the funny parts of our... When you and I are talking, when we're not recording, we make each other laugh until we cry and or pee. Pee cry. Whenever we're on the podcast, we're like deadly serious. It's like I'm thinking, okay, you know, we are not joyless, soulless husks that we are off and are on the podcast. So, yes, we need to be like, okay, yeah, yes, we can laugh and joke about this. Yeah, no, the people did not code the federal language, Jethro. what I'm seeing from this, and it looks like a very, I would say, smart, passive move from the government. You know, they pull kids out of school, you know, to not have targets around,
right.
And to prevent a Waco whoopsie. You know, they're not setting up, you know, they're not sending in the National Guard. They're not, like, ramping up for an armed standoff, you know. In other words, you know, that if you don't, like in Star Wars, you only have as much in the fight as you bring into it, you know, in the second movie, you know, where he says, oh, you don't have to take your lightsaber in there, you know. So I'm staying with my nerd cred here. I think they're trying to avoid escalating the thing more than it needs to, and hopefully it'll peter out if everybody's like, oh, yeah, this is a lot of hoopla over nothing. The people, you know, arson folks, you know, the people who've been accused of arson have turned themselves in. Hey, they might get a fine.
They've been sentenced to 2 years in federal prison. That's one of the big sticking points of the group that's out there is hey, you know, they did something and with good intentions on private property that led to damage to unused federal property, and they're being treated worse. Then, you know, the affluenza kid who killed four people, you know, they're being treated worse than murderers. That's the sticking point is sort of the federal sentencing, that's going on because these guys, a lot of it is these are not well connected, rich guys.
Now, hold on. Is that, you know, is that convicted of, or is that tried with a maximum penalty of? You know, that's the key thing I want to suss out.
Okay. Yeah. That was why I wanted to get Dade on here because I know he's been messing around with that story for a few days now, posting some interesting stuff. One of the things that we had a good back and forth on was about if they were black, they'd have been shot. But since they're white, they're not, you know, they're safe. But, and I pointed out that doesn't actually hold water because in the 1970s, the Hanafi siege took over three buildings in Washington, D.C., and even shot Marion Barry, along with killing, I think, two other people. And that ended peacefully.
Yeah, well, look up Samuel L. Jackson was with a group of people that took over a building.
Well, was he in the Hanafi one?
No, I think he was Black Panthers. I'm going to say the wrong thing, and we'll get angry emails. But, no, I mean, you know, he's badass, you know. I mean, his lightsaber says BMF on it for a reason. But, this is a dude who's on credit card commercials now, and he took over a building with a machine gun. You know.
Well, I would like to say I wouldn't call that behavior badass because badass kind of has positive connotations in pop culture. And I would very much like to say, as a responsible gun owner, using your firearm to take over a civilian building by force is something I personally would like to discourage people from doing.
I mean, okay, I'm saying attitude-wise, the guy is known to be, you know, a cool cat.
So he's not just all talk like a lot of the
the people in media and movies.
He's not a house of cards. He's not a glass house. You know, he's a real tough guy. He's like Danny Trejo.
He's been around long enough to be involved in some really, really crazy stuff. He's lived, 72 years now on this planet? So I am very curious to know what all crazy adventures are in Danny Trejo's past.
He's got a fascinating history, too. I won't recount it now because I'm running out of time. The Oregon thing, the bottom line is, it looks like the government's not escalating it right now, which I think is a good thing, because honestly, I don't want stray bullets killing, people, innocent folks. I don't want, I don't need another Waco, let cooler heads prevail.
Let's get Janet Reno out there just to start chucking in some firebombs.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I wanted to cover tech-wise on this week's show, and we touched about it on Twitter, it's 20 years old, and it's gone almost nowhere, but it's very important. So there are 4 billion IP addresses on the planet that are available. What that is, every device that's on the Internet has to have an IP address. And 4 billion sounds like a lot until you say, oh, wait, how many people are on the planet? And if you want to get every one of those people on the Internet, and then each one of them wants to have a cell phone and a car that's going to be on the Internet, and each one of them is going to have, a computer and a home computer and, a wireless router,
we're very quickly moving to a future where people are going to have different articles of clothing that will be online and connected to other devices as well.
Yeah, I right now have a smartwatch that talks to my smartphone, and my car itself it has the capability of also having its own internet presence. So to have the Internet of Things, which is the buzzword, in other words, everything's going to be on the Internet, we have to move to more IP addresses. And you're like, okay, how in the world have we survived this far? Well, we've had where we could do network address translation, which is where you hand out one IP, and then everybody else behind that IP has a IP address that gets, kind of handed out. It's kind of like having a post office box, instead of, so you have your number A instead of, going out on the Internet with a real address. So what's going on now, though, what the problem is we're even running out of those addresses. And the reason why we're running out of those is back in the heyday, in the early days of the Internet, we handed out the big blocks of addresses, like beads at Mardi Gras. We just tossed them everywhere. Like, they're going out of style. Apple got an entire big block of addresses, several million addresses just handed to them. And then just to taunt us, they don't use any of them. they handed them out willy-nilly. Now to get an address, it's a pain in the tuchus. You have to fill out forms and prove you need them and things like that. They're starting to do the right thing, but it's taking a while. So there's a replacement. It's called IPv6, and it allows several billion addresses, which, you could have several IPs for every square inch of the planet, which is honestly kind of what we need to get to if we're going to get to the point where everything on the planet can talk to everything else on the planet. The problem is IPv4, what we're currently on, it really was not forwards compatible. So guys like me have a lot of work to do to make the networks talk to each other. If anything in the past talks IPv4 at all, it slams everything in the conversation down to IPv4. So that's it. So it's 20 years old, IPv6, the replacement for IPv4. But only 10% of the internet's running IPv6, and you're not really going to notice it until we totally run out of addresses. And there's ways to keep band-aiding this crap. Most people aren't going to notice it, but people like me are going to freak out about it in the background. So, does that make sense?
That does make some sense. All right. That is very clear. I thank you for breaking that down, and yes, you are a gigantic nerd, but I want to use your nerdiness to point out that I actually may have out-nerded you today.
Oh, really?
Yes. I wrote an article for thepodcast.com that entitled, it made a reference to Schrodinger's cat in the title. It was Schrodinger's gun-free zone, basically pointing out the logical absurdity of stating that the zone is gun-free when you haven't looked into everyone's pockets. You really don't know if anyone has brought a gun into that gun-free zone. So it's really a zone that is both gun-free and armed simultaneously.
Yeah. I'll look it up and see if I can find. That was a brilliant article, and I clicked like on it. It reminds me. It's like anytime you have an area, though, even when you're checking to see if people have guns or stuff, you have the problem, and I'll see if I can find this guy's stand-up shot, a stand-up comedian. He was talking about where at airports they throw everybody's liquid that's potentially a bomb in a trash can that's right next to all the people, standing in a line right next to the trash can that's potentially a bomb.
Yeah, that's why I have huge issue with TSA in the way that they, because one of the points that I make in my thing is it's a gun, an armed person, somebody who has all the licensing and protocols to be called an officer and to hold that position and detain and call the bomb squad if something's going on. That's another. I didn't mention that specifically in the post, but that is an understood fact in serious security work, like federal security, homeland security. There is explosive ordnance disposal protocols that you don't go, hey, this looks like a bomb, and you toss it in a bag, or you toss it in a trash can. There's a lot of protocol that you're supposed to follow immediately, and some of the TSA, I don't know, they're not armed. I think that's a huge thing. I think they need more training. They need to be ready for stuff, because guess what? You have an unarmed, unarmored person who's saying, hey, I gotta make sure you don't have a gun. Well, if they do have a gun, what's he gonna do about it?
Well, one of the people I know is another autism parent. She is a TSA agent, and she's got almost no training. She's tough as nails because she's been an autism mom her whole life, and she's a great lady. She wouldn't take any guff from you, but I wouldn't trust her to spot a bomb. But, you know, oh, that reminds me, and this is totally jumping track, but, you know, people have gone on and on about, hey, why is there an increase in autism? Why is there an increase in autism? And they point at vaccines and other goofy things. Well, vaccines have been around for, you know, 40, 50 years. You know, why would that there be a sudden increase? Well, they did a longitudinal study, in other words, a long-running study involving 100,000 people over the last decade, and it shows an actual rise in, you know, increase in risk of having an autistic child for mothers that take antidepressants while pregnant.
Wow.
So that's kind of the definitive nail in the coffin for the vaccine theory, but then I have, even after I tell crazy people that, they're like, so you're saying it's still vaccines? I'm like, no, that's exactly opposite of what I said. I did not say
that is absolutely brilliant. No, I love that because I hate the over-medication of America. I hate the oh, yeah, I got a prescription of Xanax and this and that and blah, blah, blah. It's like, why? You're a perfectly adjusted human being with a darn near six-figure income. Why are you on just a myriad of drugs? How many banks did you rob before you went clean and you just know your past life is going to sneak up on you? You know, like that's the only, if you have some really sordid past like that, you know, maybe that would justify it. But yeah, no, that is awesome. Kind of a tangent though. I do want to try to get back to the Schrodinger's
yeah.
gun-free zone for a second, just because I posted it on a couple forums about guns.
Sorry, I'm unmedicated ADHD.
Stop it. All right. So we were talking about the
humor I was talking about.
Yes. I don't laugh at that, even when we're not recording. The Schrodinger's gun-free zone. I posted a link on a forum that was talking about guns, and somebody liked it immediately, and then somebody, real snarky, flamboyant person goes, this is such this is the worst bastardization of Schrodinger's cat analogy I've ever seen. They, you know, they don't talk about the substance of the article whatsoever. They're just being a troll. So, I look at the guy, I dismiss it. Next thing I know, somebody else piles on and goes, yeah, the Geneva Convention would charge him for torturing this analogy. So I'm like, alright. I look, and the first guy has commented again going, yeah, Schrodinger's cat is probably turning over or isn't in his grave. Really?
Yeah.
You're going to not talk about my substance in my argument and point out the fact that there is a correlation between the Schrodinger experiment and the concept of not knowing everything in a gun-free zone situation. Because you don't know if someone's armed or unarmed. And yet, then you're going to... The only thing you attacked me on was using the Schrodinger cat analogy. And then both the guys chime in with stupid Schrodinger cat analogy jokes. This, really? That's the Internet? That's how you use it? That's proper use of the Internet, right?
Although you did get reblogged by two people.
Yeah,
but the other one was a real person.
Awesome. Hopefully we'll get a few more because I'm pretty proud of that article. I think I used my brain smarts a little bit. I honestly do think theaters should be sued for putting up gun-free zone signs. I think they are literally false advertising. They are telling people there are no guns here, and I base that on absolutely nothing. I think they should be sued. If not,
have a law passed so that it can just be enforced by the government to say you are literally not allowed to stay at the gun-free zone unless you have entry control protocol and routine screenings present. My other point about the internet and proper use and funny comments, Crack.com had a gems, the truth about gems. They had a, one of their, what was truth in advertising, videos where they have Roger who tells you the truth about situations. And I have loved some of their videos like that. Some of them are very funny. They use a lot of, broad strokes to make points, but they are very humorous, very entertaining videos, and sometimes pretty educational. And like the one on gemstones, jewelry, the jewelry, if the jewelry stores were honest, go watch that one. It's a pretty funny video. Also, me and my wife, who had a very low-key wedding, absolutely both love the Truth About Weddings video. So Crack.com's YouTube channel, check those out. They're very entertaining, but they had a glaring wrong statement in one of their videos talking about gyms, where the main character states that yoga is something made up in the 60s, and people are just lying when they say that it's ancient. There's no law against saying that it's ancient. And I was so blown away by that because yoga has been around for centuries. It is one of the basis for the... it's true that the modern yoga that people do is actually kind of a spinoff of Pilates. And Pilates, though, which was established in America in the 1930s, was actually based on Eastern stretches, such as some that are involved in yoga. And a lot of people might say, hey, ancient yoga was more attached to Eastern sexy religions like Tantra, more so than it was involved in stretching exercises, but it doesn't change the fact that yoga was around before the 1960s. So I posted a comment clarifying that from the British occultists yammering on about it in the early 1900s, such as Aleister Crowley and Golden Dawn and all those fellas in the Ordo Templi Orientis, all the way to Pilates coming to America in the 1930s. And those are just the Western examples I brought to the table. I said there's countless more in the East. And the first comment, which, of course, I was expecting the first comment to be like, you know, you're a Gaylord history buff, you know, something stupid. I don't know, somebody calling me a fascist. I don't know why. I just figured that's what it'd be. But instead, the first comment was, also, Alexander, the guy talks about the yogis and that being seen by Alexander the Great's people and discussing them not wearing much clothes, and to which I replied, the gymnosophists. That they could fluff. So, yes, it was a weirdly, like, sweet interaction with people on the internet. So, it is possible for people to put ideas out on the internet and not just have somebody run in the room going, you're the Illuminati, Gaylord!
Yep. It's bizarre. Anyway, I'll close. I got to close out kind of early tonight with a kind of sobering thing. There is somebody who died this past week up where my wife works, and it's kind of mysterious circumstances. You know, some people say he killed himself. Some people are saying it's an accident, but the key thing is don't wear headphones while walking on a railroad track, especially don't wear noise-canceling headphones. Don't listen to loud music if you're walking along a highway or near a train. Or if you're feeling down, if you feel like there's no way out, find someone, call Boys Town USA, call a suicide helpline. There's someone you can talk to. The family is saying that it was an accident. Even if it wasn't an accident, you hurt way more people than just yourself, if you put yourself in a position to get killed.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. That's rough. I really wanted to tie this back into politics real quick, and say one little thing about the news media bias real quick, with Hillary Clinton Hillary Clinton said a bold-faced lie during her last presidential debate. She said that Donald Trump's ridiculous statements were the biggest draw for ISIS, and that they were using him to recruit people, which there had been literally no evidence of that being the case, and no direct quotes in their magazine had led to that or anything. I mean, ISIS is very vocal, and they put out videos a lot, and there yet to have been no evidence that people were making ISIS Trump videos. So she just straight up lied. She made something up. And then a week later, Al-Shabaab makes a video that uses Trump, not ISIS, totally different terrorist network, makes a video that says that, something about Trump. And the news, like, you know how occasionally news anchors use the same phraseology?
Phraseology, yes. Yeah.
Yes, they'll say the same thing, and they'll be like, what was with Dick Cheney? They kept saying gravitas. Well, with this story, when they're reporting it, they're going, oh, Hillary Clinton, she'll want to say I told you so. She'll want to say I told you so. Oh, okay, excuse me. If something happens after you say it, that doesn't mean that what you said was true. It means that something happened afterwards, completely unrelated.
You know, actually, it should be more like this. Hillary Clinton will want to collect her check as media director for ISIS.
I think they sent money to fund somebody to make the video, and then just have the media say, oh, would you look at that? There's the video now. I'm just so blown away how ridiculous the media is in carrying water for Hillary Clinton. It's ridiculous. And, they won't do the same for Bernie Sanders, that's for darn sure. I bet they're still trying to find a sex symbol on him.
And North Korea is claiming that they've done another nuclear test. But, I mean, I always find it hard that a country that can't find two potatoes to rub together somehow has, detonated a nuclear weapon.
Well, I mean, Mr. Potato Head running the country, I think it's funny you use potatoes. Whenever I look at Kim Jong-un, he just looks like Mr. Potato Head. Anyone listening to this, go do a little Yahoo search for Kim Jong-un. Take a look at him. Tell me he doesn't look like Mr. Potato Head without the mustache. He's kind of adorable. I'm not going to lie. He's kind of just a little fudge out. And it's really hard to just be like, oh, no, they're going to blow up the world. It's silly.
Yeah, but then I'm going to get Katy Perry's fireworks stuck in my head.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone go out and watch The Interview. Get the movie The Interview. It's really funny.
Yeah, send your kids out of the room. It's not a laugh-a-minute movie, but it's definitely worth it for that final scene with...
Can we just point out, it's not a laugh-a-minute movie, but the laughs that you do get are just from the gut.
really, really deep laughs. They're really funny, funny laughs. And they do such a great job establishing the last and final joke in the movie. Or the climax of the movie, I should say. It wasn't the last part. But yeah, you know what I'm saying. They did such a great job foreshadowing it. And yes, Katy Perry's song Firework was my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right, so I feel like we've covered everything. We've covered Oregon. We've covered Hillary. Oh, yes, I'm going to try to do another mini podcast on how Donald Trump is Leo Taxiel. And I know a lot of people aren't as big into Sikh society hoaxes and historical relevance thereof as I am, so I will have to explain who Leo Taxiel is, which is one of my favorite history stories about conspiracies and hoaxes. It's from the 1800s, and still to this day, conspiracy people quote Leo Taxiel, not knowing that they're quoting Leo Taxiel, and that's who Trump is to the Republicans. I will explain that in a mini podcast, and thanks for chatting, bro.
Okay, can you release the mini podcast on Sunday? I'll send you the reason why in an email.
Okay, all right, and we still have an interview that is in the wrong format, and apparently nothing can change it, with Malachi Taylor, a really cool guy, interesting character. If he's listening, I'm glad you made it safe back to Cherokee, brother. All right, bye.
Special interview.
All right, sorry, what's your name again?
My name is Theodore Dade.
Theodore Dade, all right, well, I go by Tech Sully on the podcast here.
Okay.
And as currently I am driving across our great nation, we're waiting for my brother to call in, but as we're waiting, I'll go ahead and talk to you about what you think about what's happening out there in Oregon.
Okay. Now, one thing about Oregon, I don't know too much about it. I just know little bits and pieces, so I can't talk on what I don't know. But
okay.
I can elaborate on the things I do.
Yeah, well, I mean, from what I understand, there's a bunch of militia folks that have taken over some federal buildings out there, armed after they wanted to use some federal land, and have been, some of their folks have been arrested for arson for either using or setting fire to some property on the federal land.
Okay.
And, so they took over some of the buildings out there. And it's kind of conflicting reports. It sounds like there's not really kind of a standoff. It sounds like there's...
No.
More or less, they're just letting those guys run in and out of the buildings with their, guns. They've got the school shut down just to keep stuff from escalating. It sounds like they're just trying to prevent any escalation from happening.
Okay. Now, could I jump in on that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My feelings about that one is because I don't think that the federal government would allow that to happen if they didn't want it to happen. So to me, they could be in on it, and there's something going on that we don't know. Because if they only arresting the people for burning up property or destroying the property or whatever that may have you, it should be more going on than that if they took over the whole federal building. So to me, it's like the government is involved or whatever it is they got going on. That's just my theory, my opinion.
I think because there's innocent lives in the area, I think it sounds like they're right now just kind of seeing if they can wait out, because the original people that started the whole thing have already turned themselves in or in custody. I think they're just trying to see if they can wait them out, see if people are just going to give up. You said you're wanting to comment on the 99% protests or... That kind of situation?
He said the elites versus the 99 were sinners. I'm pretty good at that.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Now,
all right, well,
I hear a lot of people talking about the elites, but I think it's a misunderstanding because I don't really think they know who the real elites are. And they saying that the 1%ers are the elites, which, in fact, it can be. But I'm quite sure it's more other elites that we don't even know about, like the Illuminati. They have a lot of elites there. And those elites, it's not only white, they black and white. They all types of nationalities. So I think what's going on with the elite is actually the government versus the 99%ers, is my recollection. So I think the elites don't have... They too rich, man, to even be thinking about this type of stuff we're talking about. They so busy making more money, generating more income for other people, and saving lives. And the only one I know right now is trying to call population control is the government. And that's, to me, myself, it seems like they're just trying to kill us slowly. To me. Our political leaders and, you know, senators and congressmen and governors.
One of the major things we talk about on the podcast is the things that are actually out there killing us. Heart disease, vehicle accidents, those are the major, two of the major killers in the United States. Hypertension, blood pressure is killing us. Our diets are killing us. And if you look where a lot of the money is, it's in food, it's in that kind of stuff. That's where your that's where the bad stuff's coming from. And so we've been saying, hey, it's not so much getting shot that's gonna kill you. It's a burger. It's all that.
It's food we eat, man, or what we partake in our bodies. But the thing is, who controls the food or let it go past? It's the FDA, Food and Drug Administration. Which is still is sponsored by the government, you see. And they know that these foods have, cancer or organic stuff in it that can possibly harm us or generate cancer. And they're approving these foods. And the healthful foods, it seems like they discontinue, they don't let pass.
Well,
like, they got
the cure. Interesting thing is the FDA can't, there's a lot of things the FDA can't monitor at all. Supplements and things like that, they're not allowed to look at. And so it's up to third-party companies to come in and say, hey, you know, these supplements you're taking don't have any of the medicines in them that you think you're taking. So recently there was an article about that where almost none of the dietary supplements that are out there that the FDA is not allowed to touch. But almost nobody's getting what they're paying for on those. So you
that's
think you're
correct.
Being healthy by taking vitamins, and you're not, because there's nobody that's overlooking it. There's nobody that's ever seen it.
That's true. Well, you made some valid points right there, but it is some foods that they do know what's inside, and they're still letting it go past. That's the issue I was talking about. Yeah, but you're right. They can't control everything. No. So that's what we have going on. So I just think myself, if we the people can collectively come together in business, one form of business, not many, and start off with that one, then branch off, I think that is about an economic base for the people.
Yeah, well, trying to get anybody to agree on anything. One of the things we found at our podcast on is you know, even if you can't get people to agree, you get people to talk.
Okay.
And if you get people to exchange ideas, even if they don't agree, you at least get them talking, and then from there you can come up with something. And as long as they're talking, they're not fighting. And that's been one of the things that my brother and I both have harped on is as long as you're talking, you're not fighting. But when you're not fighting, you know, you're always able to start working towards agreeing, and that's where we can come up with, you know, a way to make the world a better place save lives, and you know, help each other out. You know, he and I both, you notice, he's not exactly a trim man. And this past year, you know, I saw what my food was doing to me. So I went, changed my diet around, and I've lost almost 50 pounds.
Okay.
So I'm challenging him to do the same this year. So.
Yeah, that's great. See, that's what we have to do, help one another. And that's a starting point. I do agree with that. And eliminate the fighting. Because right now, all our country knows war, war, war. And there's too many people passing away or dying without changing our world. These people that could actually probably help change the world, too.
Sir.
But we all know that some have to leave us in order for, you know, the new world to develop too. So we know that too. Mm-hmm. So I'm for peace, brother.
Right.
I'm always for peace and helping my brother, fellow brother. So that's
good
what
point.
I'm about.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Well, it was nice meeting you here on the phone. I hadn't talked to you before.
One more thing I want to say. Before
yes,
we close out, we need to have more good people such as yourself and myself to try to, how can I say, not take control but own stuff, business and corporations, and put good people back to work in truth and honesty, you know? In truth and honesty.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what,
I mean,
that's
as
what we
long
need
as you
more.
Have honest hands doing honest work. I totally agree, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for the call and thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. We'll have your I'll put your interview up on the podcast tonight.
I appreciate it. Talk to you.
All right.
Thank
you.
Care.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.